Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. With me, as always, is Shannon Page. Shannon, how are you?
As always.
Thank you
for keeping that up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it still counts. It doesn't really matter if there's been a sizable gap in the last time you were with me. It's always true that you are. So, in spirit, I feel your spirit every time we record a show.
Aw, thank you.
As weird as that may be to say. It's like you're right here next to me, where it's like the movie Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. The podcast is the clay pot, maybe? No.
Nope,
anyway. So Shannon, yeah, welcome back. You excited? Yeah. You excited for a show about Buffy to try to test your knowledge on a show that we both love?
I am. I'm out of practice. I'm probably going to do terribly, but I'm excited.
All right. So the stakes are high then.
Wait, did you do that on purpose? Stakes?
Yeah, I did. I did do that on purpose. Good. I'm glad it landed. We also have another returning guest. She has been on, this is your fourth time?
I think this is my fourth time, yeah.
Yeah. And I think you've won like 3 out of 4.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. You got a strong legacy on the show. Becca Lippman is back. Becca, how are you?
I'm good. You know, holding things down, working from home, all those things.
Very good. Very good. Everyone's staying healthy, staying inside, fighting against the oppressive overlords in our emotional insurrection and political insurrection of the time.
Definitely.
Great.
Fight the power.
All of those things. For the listener, Becca was nodding a lot before she said right. So it's not as if that long pause was total disbelief of what I was saying. And we have this week a new guest. She is a member of Becca's book club, where you guys read young adult fiction. And her name is Lucia Giusti. Welcome
to the show. Perfect pronunciation.
Welcome to the show. I'm glad I got it once anyway.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited.
So what's your connection to Buffy the Vampire Slayer? How do you feel about it?
Buffy's my favorite show. Okay. I love it very much. I didn't watch it when it was actually on. I watched it kind of like, I think around like 2007 was when I got obsessed with it. And then I introduced it to all my family. I have 5 sisters and they all became Buffy fans as well. And so we're all very obsessed in my family.
Right on. Yeah. I mean, I'm very obsessed. We talked about it on the previous episode, but I mean, I was every appointment television viewer of the show from 97, 98 to the end of the run. And even doing things like obsessively videotaping every episode so that I would have them later. Cause I was like, I don't know if DVDs will exist in the future. Cause they kind of do, but maybe I don't want them. And yeah.
I had to record a bunch of episodes when I was in high school because I had like play practice and soccer practice and that would interfere with my Buffy watching. And so Buffy and Dawson's Creek were what I recorded those. You know, I think I mostly recorded Dawson's Creek because it came on after Buffy, but, you know, I got into that too. But yeah, so I started watching Buffy when it was on, probably the beginning of the second season. I don't think I really watched the first season.
Yeah, I really only saw the first season in like summer reruns.
Yeah.
I think because they reran it right before the second season started and I was like, oh, this is actually really interesting.
Really good.
Like,
yeah.
The first season was a little hit or miss, but yeah. I mean, it was like, oh, cool, I'm into this. And yeah, isn't it weird how like high school clubs and things don't plan around the shows that are really important to us when we're teens?
I know.
I
have a really clear memory of like watching Buffy at play practice. Like we had pulled the TV into the auditorium and like had turned it on to channel 2 and were watching it while other people were on stage. And I'm sure we were totally a distraction and totally annoying, but like we couldn't miss it. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and plus look, if you want to become a good performer, kids who are distracted, like you have to learn how to deal with audience members who aren't paying attention. You can't let them take you out of your role. You can't get kicked out of character because somebody's watching something on their phone, because Lord knows that's happening all the time now. So you were helping people, and that's very important.
We'll just go with
that. I feel like so sad that I didn't watch it when it was actually on, because I think some of us are of similar age, but like I was like Buffy's age. Like I would have been going to high school with her, and I graduated in 1999 and then went to college the same year. And so I feel like it would have really like been great for me if I could have gotten into it back then. And so I feel sad I missed out on the experience during my adolescence.
Oh, yeah.
I made up for it later.
Oh, for sure. I mean, all of those metaphors, like we can still kind of go back and pick them up. But in the moment, I think we can all speak to the fact that they were like, oh, yeah, this totally like this tracks with my emotional state as a you know, teen to early 20 something. I love it. Well, hey, let's get started with the opening question. The opening question. We'll start with Becca. I'm going to go from left to right across my screen this time. So, Becca, the opening question is, what's the best Slayer power? You're each going to get a chance to answer this, and I will just give you points according to which one I like the best.
I mean, I think that the most obvious Slayer power is really super strength, right? You know, like, it's not like she can fly or, like, has x-ray vision or anything like that, but it's just it's a matter of, like, she can throw giant guys across the room. And so that strength and agility, you know, being able to land on her feet whenever she's fighting and battling the forces of evil. So strength and agility for sure.
Okay, great. Very good.
I'm gonna go with the straight answer.
Yeah, no, hey, it's a good answer. It's really a good answer. Lucia, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree that that's her best, because the other powers she has, like, aren't as developed. Like, she has those dreams that are prophetic, but then how useful are they really? They're just more for dramatic.
You want to remember how to make a bed. They're very useful.
Yeah, they don't seem to, like, really help her. But and I think, like, you know, back in the movie, she had, like, she could sense vampires coming, but then they never actually, like, had that after the pilot. They kind of, like, talked about it in the pilot, but then they never really did it again. That, like, supposedly she was supposed to have, like, something like menstrual cramps when a vampire comes around. That's what happened in the movie. But then they didn't really do
about
that.
Oh, man.
They never did that in the show.
Well,
really.
That would have made her relationship with Angel much more interesting.
Yeah.
Every time he comes close, she gets crampy. Like, I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much what happened, though, wasn't it? Like, he was a constant cramp as a human, as a partner. Like, anyway.
Yeah. But I guess, I guess maybe the more, like, poetic answer we could say is that her superpower is her friends, because that's the thing she discovers, that she's different than all other Slayers because she has her friends, and that's how she is set apart, I guess, from the others. But it's really her super strength that's best, I think.
Okay, great. Shannon, what do you think? Best Slayer power?
I think I'm going to have to go with her sexual prowess. Because she made not one, but two guys with no blood be able to have sex with her. How'd she do that? I don't know. She must be really good. That is a superpower.
Yeah, we don't really ever learn in the show how that whole situation works. That one can, because we must assume that Angel and Spike obtained a like full erection, right? So, like, right. But if you don't have any blood in your body, really, that's not, you know,
or a heartbeat.
Recently consumed.
Heart,
yeah, there's no pulse. So how does that happen? That's a bonus follow-up question. Becca, how does it happen?
Well, they do have blood, right? Because they have to, like, that's how you get infected and become a vampire, is that you also drink the vampire's blood.
Yeah, I guess I meant no circulation.
So it's the circulation. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's, like, some weird muscle memory. I mean, like, there's other things that can be questioned about this too, not just the erection, but also, like, does their hair grow? Do their nails grow? Like, those sorts of things. Like, biologically, how does a vampire work? And those questions are never really answered.
Yeah, I mean, at most, we know that Angel doesn't drink coffee because it makes him jittery, which I still don't even understand how that's a thing.
Right.
Because you wouldn't think you'd be metabolizing anything. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, great. Okay, Lucia, how do you think that happened?
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where if you dig into it, the more you dig into it, the more things don't make sense. So it's like kind of like Metachlorians, like don't even try to explain it, and you'll just be disappointed if you try to explain it. Cause there's also this whole like idea. Yeah. That they don't eat, they can't enjoy food. But Spike seems to enjoy it. Like he likes to have a little Weetabix, you know, like on his, with his blood. And
yeah, so he wants a little texture, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah. And they can, one of the downfalls of having, well, one of the benefits is that Buffy was on for a long time and then it got the spinoff with Angel, and you definitely saw that vampires can age. So
yeah.
So, you know, look at Angel in season one of Buffy and then in season five of Angel, and it's wow.
He's like, I gotta go be on Bones now, so I'm just gonna get out of here. Very good. Shannon, so what's your theory? How does it happen? Is it just Buffy's inherent slayer prowess in bed?
I think it's a part Buffy and part that vacuum penis pump from Austin Powers.
Okay.
Has one in his pocket at all times.
All times.
Ready.
So are we're imagining then that like Angel and Spike pre-prep, or are we imagining that like part of just the consensual act of intercourse is Buffy's like, okay, we got to spend the next 15 minutes and I'm going to use my Slayer strength to get this thing going.
That's it. That's why it's a combo. You need the Slayer strength with the penis pump.
Yeah, it's like winding up an old record player. Like if you just do it really fast, it's going to go for 20 minutes. So just go ahead and ramp it up. Very good. Becca, 3 points for the opening question. Lucia, 4 points, and Shannon, 4 points. I like that a lot. We went to weird places together. And now we're going to go into round one. So Lucia, do you have a vague idea about Yana of the Calderash?
Yes. Yana of the Calderash. What was that? I feel like, was this somehow related?
Feel free to just make something up.
I feel like it's definitely some type of demon, right? But I guess I could just make up that that's one of the demons that can read minds from earshot. Okay. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. I'll buy it. I'll buy it. Great. Shannon, Yana of Calderash.
All right.
You have a vague idea?
I do think I have a vague idea. I'll know from Becca's face whether or not I've got it or not. I'm pretty sure it's Anya's human name before she became a demon. No, Becca says I'm wrong.
Yeah, and Becca is correct in knowing that, yeah, she knows. So right. Yeah, Becca, tell us about Yana of Calderash, please.
Yana of Calderash is Jenny Calendar. That is
correct.
Her Romani name.
Yes.
So Jenny Calendar.
Yana.
Is actually Yana of the Calderash tribe. And so that's her, like, her Romani gypsy name. We don't want to say gypsy because that's a derogatory term. But yeah, so the Calderash tribe is the people that cursed Angel the first time. And then that family, you know, kind of passed down. And so Jenny Calendar ends up being a teacher at the school in Sunnydale, and they find out that she's actually a witch, and she has all this, you know, knowledge from her family, and eventually dies because of that knowledge. But not before figuring out the curse to save Angel again. Although
and printing it on a dot matrix
on
printer.
Hard.
No, she puts it on a floppy
disk.
It was on
a floppy disk. Like, yeah.
That's right. Well, she prints it, and then Angel burns the printer.
Yeah. She does print it, but it's saved on a floppy disk that gets stuck behind her desk.
Yeah, you got that amazing character actor who I think he's passed away since, but the guy who plays like the uncle yeah. who like, yeah,
real tall skinny guy. You, I don't remember his name.
Jenny Calendar, you are not. You are Hyanna of Calderash. I love it. Very good, very good, Becca. Three good points job. For you, Becca. 1 point for Lucia and Shannon each, and we're gonna go into round two. Shannon, do you have a vague idea about Gaknar?
Gaknar. Is that the fear demon from the Halloween episode? Yes.
It's very good. Very good.
it's a tiny little demon that spends the entire episode trying to scare everybody. But when they finally go to, when they finally find him, Buffy slays him by stepping on him.
Yep.
Very sad.
And he's, well, I don't want to say anything else. Becca, what else do you know about Gaknar?
Well, so Gaknar, it was from the Halloween, from one of the Halloween episodes where they get trapped in the house and everything like comes to life in the house. And it happens because some real dumb frat boys paint a picture of a weird, creepy symbol on the ground and then Oz bleeds on it. Mm-hmm. And even though Gaknar is this tiny, tiny demon, he still really fucks some shit up. Like, he is a scary dude.
Yeah.
Because he's just, you know, like, your fears, there's like more than one episode about like facing your fears. And I think that, you know, that's one of the really scariest parts of that is that, like, you know, it makes you confront what you're really afraid of. It's not that he's scary, it's that he uses your own fears against you. So, you know, even if you're a little guy, you can use somebody's fears against you and really fuck some shit up.
He's like an inverse FDR. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Right. There's everything to fear.
Yeah.
Fear itself.
Lucia, anything to add about Gaknar?
Well, one of my favorite parts about him was when they're like reading the spell book and there's like a little detail like in small print and they're like, as sized as pictured or like, yeah. Like yeah. Basically like this is the actual size like of him, and they don't read that until after he's already like come and they were all freaked out and it was like, oh, he's actually gonna be tiny. And then I also, just my favorite part of that episode is that we first learned about Anya's fear of bunnies.
Yes.
And she's like, yeah, supposed to dress as something scary, and she's like, I am wearing a bunny suit, the scariest thing of all. And so that's a real fear.
Yeah, that's like that is one of my favorite season three episodes, because it really is like a point where they start unraveling all of the conflicts. The fact that Xander doesn't feel like he belongs, the fact, or I guess it's season four, the fact that Xander doesn't feel like he belongs, the fact that, you know, Oz is afraid of himself, really. Mm-hmm. That Willow still has this lingering sense that she's not as interesting as she wants to be, that she's becoming invisible, and then Buffy's fear of abandonment. It's really, really well put together. And then, yeah, like, you know, the just the way that Giles shows up, I think, and does he cut the building open with a chainsaw, or is that the them screwing episode?
No, he does that.
Okay.
Yeah, he does. He comes in with a chainsaw and cuts a door into it.
Yeah, which is just one of those, like, you know, Anthony Stewart head just looking like a badass for like 30 seconds on film, where it's like, yeah, cool. Okay, you showed up. Very
also,
good.
It's the kind of thing that Joss Whedon does that's so perfect, because you watch a movie and the door is, you know, welded shut. And as a viewer, you're always like, well, just cut another door. And Joss Whedon's like, okay, get a chainsaw, we'll do it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. Shannon, 3 points. And 2 points each for Becca and Lucia. And it's time to play a game. It's time to play Bite, Marry, Steak. Becca, we're back to you. For Bite, Marry, Steak this week, your options are Angel, Spike, and Drusilla.
Ooh.
Who are you going to bite? Who are you going to marry? And who are you going to steak?
Okay. Oh, that's real hard. I think I'm going to bite Spike, because I always had a big crush on Spike. I always thought, like, I'm definitely team Spike in terms of, like, you know, Spike versus Angel. I always thought he was a much more interesting character.
I mean, that's because he was.
Yeah. I think I'd probably I'd probably kill Angel, honestly.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
And then I would marry
just that Felix. Dream in the middle of season two, just yeah. stake right into him.
Yeah. You know, he's so broody. Like, that's just, but, and then Drusilla is like so interesting, even though she's crazy. You know, I think that she would just make life so interesting. So they're,
she's really loyal for as weird as she would be, like as a married partner, she could be very loyal. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, if she loves you, she would, although she did leave Spike for a chaos demon. Yeah. it was like a slime demon, some sort of demon, a chaos demon. She left Spike for a chaos demon. you know, but I also, I met the actress, what's her name now, that plays Drusilla?
Juliet Landau.
Juliet Landau. I met her at Comic-Con, and she was just so delightful. She was just really wonderful. So, you know, yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. I'm gonna bite Spike, I'm going to kill Angel, and I'm going to marry Drew.
All right. Lucia, what are you going to do?
Okay. Well, and is bite literally bite, or is
it, no, it's,
is it the euphemism?
It's the replacement for fuck.
Okay, so because you can't do that with Angel, or he turns evil. So yeah. You definitely can't bite Angel.
You can
nibble,
you're
either stuck
bit.
Marrying Angel or killing him, and I think definitely killing him if you're one or the other.
Yeah.
so one option's off the table.
If you want Angel to be evil, you could screw it.
I guess that's true. I mean, evil Angel was really fun.
Evil Angel was fun.
That's true, actually, now that I think about that. Because I did, and Jealous is a lot of fun.
He but made secondhand smoking look really cool after he drained the lady who was smoking and then exhaled her smoke.
Which is another biology
right. How does
thing, you know, right. with the breath and...
Where does... Yeah.
But, I feel like I'd want to marry Drusilla. I just love Drusilla. I would marry Drusilla.
All right.
And I think I would, I'd marry Drusilla, bite Spike, and kill Angel. So I think that's the same as you.
Yeah. No, that's great. Okay. That's great. Shannon, what are you going to do? Who are you going to bite? Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to stake?
Well, I think you could bite Angel as long as you don't give him a moment of true happiness.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Just like bite him like, you know, substandard, you know.
Yeah. Well, you just got to edge Angel. That's the term for the industry.
I think
what he did
with Darla. He didn't
fall in love with you.
Yeah.
He didn't turn evil when he had sex with Darla later.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on Angel. But
yeah, so if it's just a one-night bite, I think it's okay.
One Night Bite is the episode title, Shannon.
So I'm going to bite Angel because he's really mopey, but he's really pretty.
He is really pretty.
So I'm going to marry Spike because he's a lot of fun and he is really loyal and he is, I think he would be a good life partner till death do you part. and I'm going to stake Drusilla because that vamp is crazy and kind of annoying, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, now a downfall I'm thinking of marrying her is you might be stuck with her creepy dolls.
Oh, I like the creepy dolls.
It's the weird
riddle rhymes that I'm not a big fan of.
And her, like, swinging on the swing set. Oh, Drusilla, why are you being so crazy?
Like you're really like hundreds of years old, but you act like you're five.
Do you think that because Drusilla is crazy because Spike drove her crazy, right? Is basically the premise that they lay out.
Well, and Angel drove her crazy.
Oh, that's right. Okay, Angel drove her crazy. Do you think you could get Drusilla enough therapy? Like, if you found a night therapist that she could become not crazy? Think you could talk her through it, or is it it's too late?
I think she would keep eating her therapist.
That's fair.
She was kind of crazy before she was crazy, though, because she was like a strict, I don't know.
Yeah, she was like a hyper nun, right?
Yeah.
She was like very, a Puritan almost. Something.
Yeah, she was trying to be like an ascetic.
She had like the sight or something, though. Like, I think she had like a power before, and then she was like hiding in the convent trying to be all religious because she was already... like seemed like she already had like visions or like had a, I mean, maybe she was a potential slayer.
Oh, wow. Now, see, the visions thing brings up a good point, too, because who wants to be married to someone who always knows what you got them for your for their birthdays, their anniversaries, and everything? Like, they're always going to know what you're up to, so there's no sense of surprise. I buy it. Great job.
What would you do on that one?
What would I do? I would, I mean, I would kill Angel. Angel's kind of boring. I mean, whatever. He's nice enough. I would marry Spike, and I would probably bite Drusilla.
Bite Drusilla.
Because, you know, I think that would be one crazy night.
Yeah.
Good enough.
That's true.
So great job. 2 points for Becca, 2 points for Lucia, and 3 points for Shannon. And now we're going into round three. Lucia, you're first. Do you have a vague idea about Torrance High School?
Oh, yes, I do. That's where they filmed Buffy and also where they filmed Beverly Hills 90210. And so some of my favorite high school television happened there. What else can I know about it? It's a beautiful campus. I love that the like outdoor kind of section that they use.
Yes. I mean, who wouldn't love like to have gone to high school in a place where there were exterior hallways?
Yes. Yes. And unlike the actual Sunnydale High School, I don't believe it was blown up or had to be rebuilt. I don't know if people are still going to school there or not anymore, but I think it's safer than the actual Sunnydale. I think they might have probably filmed other shows there too, but I know they did Buffy and 90210. One of my favorite shots of the school is when Buffy like scales the school to go up to the clock tower to like stop Jonathan. She's like, it's totally her stunt double so intensely. She's like jumping over the school. But
one of the things that didn't age well with that show is the stunt casting and how obvious it is when it's the stunt.
So obvious. But yeah, can't think of anything more to add.
No, that was very good. Shannon, okay. Do you have anything to add about Torrance High School?
I mean, I don't know that there's much more to add. I wonder if it was also where Bring It On was filmed.
Oh.
And if so, that would be funny because the main character in that was named Torrance.
Huh. I'm looking it up.
Called Rancho Carne in the movie.
Meat Ranch.
Yep.
If it wasn't Bring It On, I think it was at least like some of those other teen movies were filmed there too. Like there's like another one with Sarah Michelle Gellar that I think was filmed there. I can't think of it. Bring It On's a classic though.
Yeah, and Eliza Dushku. Amazing and Bring It On. Using
yes. Oh, it all comes together. It all comes together.
Yeah, using her amazing gymnastics skills in Bring It On that she honed as a slayer.
Yeah. That's why she was so good at it, because she was a slayer.
Right. Well, you know, and she comes in as like the new kid. So maybe Bring It On is actually like Faith when she leaves and she's like trying to be normal and then... And so she like wins a cheerleading championship.
She's like, you know what? I can go back from the spotlight. I just want to fly under the radar for a little bit. Yeah.
Right. You know, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, very good. I was trying to find other shows. I can't find anything that says whether Bring It On is there or not. It is on the National Register of Historic Places, though. And it is in the Renaissance Revival style. So there you go. Lucia, 2 points, and Shannon and Becca get 1 point each. Huh?
Oh, Becca might have had more to say.
Oh, no. Becca, did you?
I think I was done with that one. Yeah, I don't think I got anything else to add on that.
Yeah, you got a bunch of whatever.
Who's like the most famous person that graduated from Torrance High School that you can see?
Paul Moyer, who I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
American journalist. There you go. You've got Medal of Honor winner Ted Tenuye, World War II prisoner Louis Zamperini. That's someone we all know because of that movie that Angelina Jolie directed, whose name I cannot remember. Stronger, Broken, something like that. He was a prisoner of war in Japan. Unbroken. That's what it was called.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there you go. Professional golfer Angela Park is also an alumnus of Torrance High School. Lucia, 2 points. Shannon, 1 point. Becca, 1 point. And we're going to round number four. And Shannon, do you have a vague idea about Alan Finch?
Alan Finch. No. Buddy knows this, but he was the original Watcher, and he started the Watchers Council, and then he got turned into a vampire, and he was really old, and he became the Master.
Okay, very good. Yeah, Finch's Council. Becca, do you have a vague idea about Alan Finch?
Good bluffing from Shannon, because I do not have any idea. Let's see, Alan Finch, I'm going to say was part of Giles's band when he was in college, along with Ethan Grimes. And, you know, they used to, like, try to do black magic together and really, you know, like, go crazy on the world and, like, fight demons and just do a bunch of crazy stuff while they played some, you know, hard rock music.
They're just listening to Cream, summoning demons to get temporarily high, writing some folk music.
Yeah.
All right. Lucia, Alan Finch.
Okay, I think I might know this. I think Alan Finch was the mayor's aide.
You are correct.
Who was killed in an alley by Faith, my favorite. And that was her first murder of a human. She didn't realize he was a human, but she still killed him. And he was like always having to do all these annoying things for the mayor. Mayor was a very bad boss to him, and he had a hard life and a bad death, killed by a stake.
Yeah, which has got to be like the worst way to go too, because you don't turn to dust immediately. No. You just have like wood in your chest.
And you just bleed out at that point, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. You just, I mean, well, he slumped against the dumpster, just spitting blood out of his mouth, like, terrible. Yeah, and Alan was also probably secretly plotting against the mayor, which is exciting.
Oh, yeah, there was a whole thing where they later, like, find out that he was not loyal to the mayor and was trying to...
Right, because, I mean, that's why he was down in that alley in the first place, because he was trying to, like, tell them what the mayor was doing and, like, warn somebody, and it totally just got him killed, so poor
guy. Which makes it even sadder for Alan.
Yeah, it's a real, you know, in the middle of the war zone sort of situation, but, yeah, he took it bad. It wasn't right. Very good. Lucia, 2 points. Shannon and Becca, 1 point each. And now it's time to play our second game. It's time for the Thunderdome. This week in the Thunderdome, we'll start with you, Becca. We have the duo of Vampire Willow and Vampire Xander versus the trio of Warren, Jonathan, and what's the third guy's name?
He comes back.
He's my favorite, and I can't even think right now.
Andrew.
Andrew. Okay, I love Andrew. Storyteller. The vampires.
Yeah, and he comes back about the vampires. Season 7 and, like, joins the Scooby game. So Vampire Rollo and Vampire Xander versus the trio of nerds.
And I want you to assume that Vampire Willow and Vampire Xander are at the peak of their powers in the alternate reality. This is not like, they're not goofy or doofy. Like, they're as cold and cruel and, like, rolling into the bronze. Xander's hitting skins with the guy and talking about, like, oh, the master's got a new blood leeching machine and we're just living it up.
Right.
It's the roaring 20s of vampirism.
I would definitely go with Vampire Willow and Xander on this one, because one, like, Warren was smart, but Jonathan and Andrew were kind of idiots and also, like, not that effective. Like, all of the things that they ended up doing were completely by accident. Anytime they actually, like, accomplished something, it was completely by accident. Whereas like Willow is amazing. Like in any form, Willow as a vampire, Willow as a witch, Willow as yeah. just a normal girl is like amazing. So, and we know that Willow, you know, eventually beats Warren. So I think that, you know, obviously there's a whole bunch of other things involved in that, but
I don't know if defeats Warren is an accurate way of depicting what happens, because if you turn a person inside out, that's really a little bit more than just a beating.
So, you know, we know that she has that power inside her. And I think that there's a good chance that that power would have been magnified in her vampire state. So.
Right on. Okay. All right. I like it. Lucia, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like Becca made all the points I would want to say for sure. Because it's, yeah, I feel like Willow had already proved herself to be able to beat Warren. And yeah, the trio was just not as effective as they would want. I mean, I guess we did see that just with a little bit of organization that Vampire Willow and Vampire Xander did get killed in the alternate universe as soon as like Buffy kind of like organized people. So, I mean, it is pretty easy to kill a vampire, but I think I would still put my money on Willow and Xander, evil vampire versions. And I think that the trio would be too scared of Willow to even want to fight. Like they'd be terrified.
All right, that works. Shannon, what do you think?
I think it depends on if the trio have any of their toys with them or not. I really want Vampire Willow and Xander to be the winners because I like them so much more. I think if the trio had their toys, if nothing else, they'd just make themselves invisible and figure out a way to escape. So I think it might be the trio if they had their stuff. Without their stuff,
yeah,
no,
I mean,
question.
I would assume that, yeah, they've got their stuff. It's not like just three pointless, you know, 20-something incels hanging out in a Thunderdome. That's not interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think in that case, it's the trio. Mostly because Vampire Willow and Vampire Xander got taken out as soon as the Scoobies got involved, whereas the trio was able to trick the Scoobies. So by the law of conservation, I can't remember which law that is.
Conservation of vampires.
A beats B and B beats C, therefore A beats C.
Yeah, I'm into it. My perspective would be that because Vampire Willow and Vampire Xander can take on non-vampire appearances, they might be able to, seduce and two, dupe the trio into kind of an easy win. That's kind of the first place that I would go, is that clearly, like, at least two of them would have been like, oh, if Willow even hit on me, and Vampire Willow would totally hit on them.
Oh, yeah, because Vampire Willow was, like, all over the place sexually. Yeah. Like, she would hit on anything.
So if Vampire Willow was just like, hey, do you guys want to, like, do, like, a thing with me and Xander? Like, we're gonna have, like, a five-way. Just let's hang out. They're all dead immediately. But with their toys and with a little foresight, I think that the trio has a shot because, unfortunately, throughout history, the patriarchy is a dominating power. Definitely wrong that is the case. But you know, shitty men win a lot. History books, people, look them up. Okay, so scores. Becca, 2 points. Lucia, 1 point. And Shannon, 2 points. And we're on to, from the makers of Pomme, ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. The only thing that's French about it is the name. And this week, we are going to be asking a very simple question. And we're going to start with Becca. And that question is everything 5x5?
Yes, everything is 5x5. I still don't know what 5x5 means, but, you know, actually right now, nothing is 5x5. Everything kind of sucks.
Arguably, your bookshelf is exactly 5x5. Listeners, there is an IKEA bookshelf that I think is 5 rows by 5 rows. Exactly. So the bookshelf is 5x5.
It's 5x5. That is true. But the world right now, I don't think is 5x5 because, you know, like,
not
we've
at
got
all.
Pandemic happening. We've got, like, you know, racial violence happening. You know, we've got police brutality happening, all of those things are not 5x5.
Yeah. What by what do you think things currently are? Just out of curiosity.
I think right now we might be like 1x47 or something, like really out of whack.
Damn, yeah. Wildly skewed. Okay. Wildly skewed.
And because, like, could you imagine having a 1x47 IKEA shelf? It would be like very, very hard to finish.
You would need the longest wall possible. Yeah. Or the tallest ceiling. Yeah. I guess tallest ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. 7x1 long wall. Anyway. Yeah. Great job. Lucia, what do you think? Is everything 5x5?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything is not 5x5 right now. That's for sure. It's like everything's a dumpster fire now, but the but I do love that phrase that Faith always says. Apparently it's like a Navy term, but I don't understand it.
I mean, my sense is that it just means, is everything square?
Well, no, I understand what it means, but yeah. I don't understand, like, where...
But yeah, I don't know what the 5x5, like, is it biblical? But... Is it 5 cubits by 5 cubits? Am I building an ark? I don't know.
Yeah, it's something about ships or water or navies, but...
like, battleship, like, five across, five down, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, but... Yeah.
E5.
E5.
You sunk my battleship.
Yeah, maybe that's like the new, like, that could be the new 2020 meme, because there's all these ones like, you know, no, I'm not okay, or like, you know, there's all these like TV memes about like how people are doing, and just be like, I'm not 5x5. It's not 5x5.
I think it should be part of the popular lexicon. I like it as a phrase. It's,
yeah,
it's brash and hip, and it doesn't make any sense, like most slang anyway. So, you know, I fucks with 5x5.
Maybe the sailor that told that phrase to Faith is the same one that convinced her to get her weird tattoo that's like not quite in the right spot of her bicep. It's like, oh, yeah. Little too low.
I mean, those, but the misplaced barbed wire tribal tattoo is a common veteran
thing.
Of the 90s. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shannon, is everything 5x5?
So if you take 5x5, the original meaning, which I just Googled, so I totally cheated. So
that's
don't grade me on this. But
inform
it's,
us.
It is the first five relates to strength. Of a signal. So the first one relates to strength, and the second one relates to clarity. So basically, 5x5 is a way of saying that a signal, you're hearing a signal loud and clear.
Ah, gotcha.
And it's rated on a scale from 1 to 4, so, or 1 to 5. So if it's not good, you'd be like, oh, it's a 2x4.
Right, and then you're building a wall in a house.
Then you're building things. But I think that everything is 5x5. I'm going to tell you why. In the Buffyverse, the person who said that everything was 5x5 was Faith when she was talking about everything being okay. But nothing was ever okay with Faith.
That's true.
Like, when she said it, she was lying. So
that's true.
I think 5x5 in the Buffyverse is a way of pretending like everything's okay when it's all a dumpster fire, which is definitely what's going on right now. So,
oh my gosh, that's absolutely it. That's the one, Shannon.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. And by that nature, I think we should always talk about how everything's 5x5 because it's, we're fucked. Yeah. We're spaced. We're,
I don't
we're
think it's getting better. So.
Yeah. Very good. 2 points for Becca, 2 points for Lucia, and 4 points for Shannon, because you looked something up and you educated us. And also, I think you tapped into something that really speaks to the actual essence of the moment. That's worth some points. All right. So I don't want to alarm everyone, but it's time for the final topic.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Bah, 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 bah. Right? We don't do that enough anymore. Because yeah, everything gets added in post. It's fine. So Lucia, we'll start with you for the final topic. Do you have a vague idea about Buffy season 8?
Yes, it is. Happens in the comic books. I own all of them on my bookshelf, but then I never kind of continued after season 8. But season 8 was pretty awesome. There's a whole like Slayer army, and Buffy's a general, and there's a whole crazy plot point where Dawn turns into a giant, and Oz comes back from his like mystical adventure of controlling his werewolfness, and there's a whole like Harmony's having like a reality show for vampires, and there's like a lot of crazy stuff. I love the artwork of the covers is really beautiful. And so if anyone is interested in checking them out, I like it. Just the art is worth it. I really like it. So, yeah, season 8, I recommend it.
Right on. Shannon, season 8.
Yeah, there's not much more to add. The only thing that really stuck with me was that there was a Spike, Angel, Buffy threesome dream sequence that took place in the 8th season. So I remember that, but yeah, everything else.
It's a good memory. Important things to remember. Becca, Buffy season 8.
What you're asking for. Excuse me. I don't feel like I have anything to add because I've never actually read them. So, you know, I guess that makes me like a not super fan of Buffy that I never got around to reading them. But yeah, so I mean, I've heard of them, and every once in a while when I'm looking something up about Buffy, it'll be like, and then in season 8, and I'm like, okay, I should probably read that, but I just never have.
Right on. Yeah, you guys hit it. It's a long run, 40 comics plus 3 additional like one shot books came out of season 8. Joss Whedon was executive producer of the entire comic book series, and it starts a year after the end of the television series, where Buffy and Xander now lead a command center situated in a citadel in Scotland, where they're just gonna go out and kick some ass. And yeah, you know, you got your 3-way fantasies, you got your other stuff.
You
got amazing cover artwork. And yeah, I just think it's really interesting as a concept that a comic book would be the way to continue something like this, because in a lot of ways, I really wish someone would have just committed it to film. And it's probably just because of the time when it happened that we didn't get that. Like, if Buffy ended last year, season 8 probably would have just been on Netflix, and mm-hmm. everybody in the principal cast would have been there and done this thing that would have been really phenomenal to watch. And Netflix would have put a shitload of money behind it, that whatever, you know.
Well, Buffy was one of the first television shows, I think, that like also got saved by fans, because like they canceled it and then they moved it to another network after season 5, you know, because people were like, it was a pretty big deal that it moved to a new network. You know, and there was a lot of licensing deals and stuff like that, but like, you know. And
yeah.
that has been tried a bunch of times, and sometimes it's been successful and sometimes it hasn't. But, you know, the fact that we even got season 6 and 7, I feel like is pretty incredible.
Yeah, you really only have what you have. Community was able to do that. They moved to Yahoo for one season, which didn't really mean a lot, but at least they got all of the seasons they wanted. Brooklyn Nine-Nine did that, moving from Fox to NBC. Mm-hmm. I can't really
Arrested Development.
Oh yeah, Arrested Development got a revival because of the internet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Shannon and I on the episode when we just talked about Buffy, talked about this, that, you know, the ending, the season 5 ending of the WB version of the show was super impactful on my life. Like, I spent probably a week of my or more of my summer sort of pathetically feeling sad that, like, oh no, did my friends die and I will never get like a pleasant resolution to their existences? Like, this is it? This is all I get? It's just like, wow, a beautiful sacrifice and tragedy, and that's it. Yeah. Yeah, it's powerful stuff.
I like the comic book format for continuing it on, because I am one of those weirdos that actually likes it when TV shows stop. Like, I will actually stop myself with a lot of TV shows. I'll watch a season and I'll be like, that was good. I enjoyed that. I don't need any more. And I think that especially American TV has a tendency to go on way too long and make it so that they kind of kill the show. And so with Buffy, I think it was good that it went on in comic form, because you've got like the first 7 seasons that are a capsule and it ends and you can be done with it. And then if you want to continue, if you're really missing it, there's the comic books, but that's a different world. It's not the show continuing. It's not the show jumping to a movie format. Like, it's a totally different world. It's a way to revisit the characters, but not have it like ruin the 7 seasons that came up beforehand by beating a dead horse.
That's a good point too, because I think probably everybody would have been very tired of playing these characters, and you'd get more and more mailed in performances and things too. You know, it's a tough spot, because it's sort of like, in a vacuum, it would be wonderful if there were just an infinite number of episodes that exist of Buffy the Vampire Slayer from 1998. Like, if just thousands of episodes could have come out of that one era, right? If we were just churning them out. But that's not how things work. People get older. They grow up. They marry Wesley. They do things, you know.
They age, even though they're vampires, and they're not supposed to. Like, you know, continuing. You can't do a reboot of Buffy with any of the vampire characters, because now they're in their, like, 40s.
Yeah. So, you know? Or older. And yeah, it's like the Picard reboot, or the Picard show that came out to continue Star Trek The Next Generation, where Data is a robot, but Brent Spiner, the actor, has aged, and so you're working around that. And it's not, you know, and I mean, we're all about suspension of disbelief, because that's what we have to do, right? None of this is real. This is for our entertainment. We are like emperors and empresses of the 12th century, that we can just make these people dance for our amusement at the click of a button. But yeah, it is weird when you're like, oh wow, Data looks really old, and he shouldn't, because he's a robot. He shouldn't look old at all. And yeah, vampires, same thing. So guys, I have our final scores. This was a very close game, and it's interesting, because we almost would have had a tie, but we didn't quite have a tie, because sometimes more points were scored by other people than other people.
That's how it works. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my John Madden just laying out how games work.
How games work.
So Becca, you had 18 points, and you have tied for second place. Lucia also 18 points, and Shannon, you scored 20 points. Okay. So Shannon, you won.
Good job, Shannon.
Yay. All the sex talk.
So Shannon.
Yay.
What do you want to plug this week? What do you want people to know about?
Oh man. I can't even get started. There's so much.
There's a lot
to know about. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear a mask. It's not over yet. I'll go with the quarantine pandemic angle.
Great.
That's the safest angle.
It's, well, for everyone. Very, very directly. Yeah, absolutely. Becca, what do you have to plug?
I mean, I guess on the other big hitter, big topics of the moment, I would say, you know, Black Lives Matter, defund the police, go out and vote. If you're, I don't know when this is going to air, but if you're in Colorado and it's still before June 30th, make sure to drop off your ballot. If it's after June 30th, I hope you voted. And if you live in someplace else that is voting at a different time, make sure you vote. Because that's how one way that change is going to happen. So, you know, do those things. And vote by mail if you can, because, you know, you don't want to have to stand in line at a polling place. Yeah. And voting by mail, especially in places like Colorado, is 100% safe and not full of fraud, no matter what the tiny orange man in the White House says.
Yeah, it's almost as if he
votes by mail. Who also votes by mail, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. From an address that he doesn't live at. Yeah. Because he's actually wants to commit fraud because he's garbage. Yeah. I mean, I think the bottom line is his whole thing is, I'm terrible, and I assume everyone else is terrible. So if they're going to be like me, then it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, well, but no one else is like you because you're a trash human. Lucia, what do you want to plug? Hopefully not Donald Trump.
No, definitely not. I would echo the sentiments of Shannon and Becca. Yes, wear a mask, Black Lives Matter, defund the police, you know, make, buy from Black businesses, and, you know, all that. I'm trying to be more conscientious about that, buying like from smaller businesses and not buying from any of the corporations that give to Trump. So I can't drink Coors Light anymore. Sorry, Coors.
I mean, in fairness, you couldn't have drank Coors for like 40 years. Like before you were born, you couldn't have drank Coors.
They have been problematic.
They are not good people.
Yeah. But on like a more frivolous note, I just finished watching Normal People on Hulu, and it's if someone's looking for a show to binge that is does not have any vampires but has a romance, and it's very like satisfying watch, I thought. So I recommend it.
Right on. Very good.
Can I add one more plug?
Go ahead.
Well, if you're a fan of Buffy, I highly recommend the Buffering the Vampire Slayer podcast.
Yes.
It's a good show.
It's a really good show, and they have a sister podcast called Angel on Top. And like I didn't really watch Angel when it was on. Like I would watch it occasionally, but it was not a consistent part of my life. I think by the time it came on, I was like in college, and it was just not something that I got into. And so I've been watching Buffy. Like rewatching Buffy and then watching Angel concurrently, so in real time, because there's a bunch of crossover between Angel and Buffy, and then listening to the Buffering podcast and Angel on Top, so they have commentary about those. So that's one reason why I knew some things that, like, if I hadn't watched these shows in a while, I maybe wouldn't remember like what Jenny Callender's name was in Romanian, but.
So what you're saying is you cheated.
Yeah, I cheated by watching the show.
No,
you're totally cheating.
I'm teasing.
But yeah, so they're, you know, I think that they're really, really good. They talk a lot, you know, they're hosted by queer women, and they talk a lot about like the intersectionality of the characters and like the representation of the characters throughout the show, and talk a lot about the problematic aspects of the show. Like
they do not like Xander until season 4. No. And
then
agreed. Barely.
For a long time.
And then barely, which I know Shannon and I have a soft spot for Xander.
Yeah.
This is not what the point of this show is about, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, they talk a lot about the patriarchy, which, you know, Nate mentioned as well. But
it's valid. It's a valid point.
Yeah, so I would just plug them because I think they're good people.
Right on. Yeah, it's a great show to listen to, and thank you all for coming on the show. This has been a lot of fun. Shannon, thanks for coming back. Becca, thanks for coming back. Lucia, thanks for trying this once, and maybe you'll come back again in the future. Might be able to coach you to do it again.
This is fun.
Yeah,
and I feel really impressed that I tied with Becca, who's like a trivia queen. So I feel like I didn't really lose because I got to get as many points as Becca.
Yeah. No one loses on this show. There's just the person who wins and everyone else. And that's kind of fine, right? Like, I mean, there's no stakes. Not upon that time. Just straight up. So, thank you guys so much. Thank you, listeners, for listening to the show. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. That really helps us out. Also, we are A Vague Idea, and you can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. There's not really anybody else doing that name, so I trust you to Google it. And I think we just gotta, you know, keep giving to Black Lives Matter, bail funds. Last week's episode, we talked about giving to Native American reservations because they are especially dealing with a lot of issues due to the pandemic and everything. So seek those organizations out. And for God's sakes, just be considerate of one another. Put a mask on so that you can go out and just like, hey, you know what? I'm vaguely uncomfortable for 5 minutes so that I don't kill everyone's grandma and everyone's grandpa. That's cool. That would be a nice thing. Otherwise, just take care of each other. This has been A Vague Idea, and I think we had one, so that's all right with me. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.